You're with SBS Radio.
Kurt Mully is a Torres Strait Islander man living on Goringai Land. Kurt is a yoga teacher, a member of Yoga Australia's Yawning Circle. He's a co-founder and head teacher of Modern Organic, yogi, surfer, musician and shamanic journeyman. Kurt facilitates teacher trainings, retreats, workshops, monthly men's circles and sound journeys. And Kurt is now joining us on NITV Radio to talk about his work. Thank you and welcome, Kurt.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You're organizing monthly men's circles. So far, most of us probably would have heard about women's circles, but what actually is a men's circle?
Well, that's men's business. It's a sacred space that we create where men can talk freely about what we need to talk about, because in today's society it's something that we don't generally sit round fires as commonly as we used to, having the yarn circle. So it's bringing that back into, I guess, our new Australian culture, but trying to tap back into some of that ancient wisdom and using these techniques to be able to connect with each other and connect with ourselves. And as part of that, the healing process, to be able to talk about things that we tend to bottle up. And generally speaking of the masculine in today's society.
And do you have like a set of topics that you theme the circles around, or is it whatever happens in that circle?
Yeah, sometimes there'll be a theme, other times it'll just be an open circle, but there tends to be an underlying theme that we all relate to. It's very interesting how that pans out when we do start to sit down and open up.
And who are the men who come to your circles? Is it like a regular group, or is it people from like different walks of life, different backgrounds?
Yeah, there's quite a variety of all ages, of people from many backgrounds. Australia being as multicultural as it is, we do get a quite wide variety of, or demographic, I guess you could say, of guys that turn up. But it is something that is building, and something that I've been encouraging the guys to come turn up once a month, regardless if they've got something to say or not, just to be there in support of other brothers. And the tribe is building more and more.
Is this something you grew up with? Are you connecting to like a tradition of your family or of your people, or is that something like new that you discovered?
When I first opened our yoga studio and cafe, within a few days we had women coming in and asking to do women's circles, and bells started to ring, and I thought, where's the men's circles? I hadn't really heard of anything happening here on the Central Coast, not out loud anyway, really open to the public. There was a couple of meetups here and there, but it was generally within a group already that wasn't necessarily open to the wide public. So that's where I decided, all right, well, I'll step up and give it a go. And it has evolved over the last 5 years, and I've learnt quite a lot through that process. And not one single circle is the same. It's different every time, with the energy of whoever turns up, and the theme might change, or depending on where we are astrologically and the energy that's on the planet at the time, it can, it definitely does have a major effect in how they run and how they flow and the outcome at the end.
That sounds interesting, but I guess I'm not invited.
Well, there's plenty of women's circles around.
You also already mentioned Modern Organic. You're co-founder of this yoga studio and a cafe. And on your webpage, you're saying you're living and teaching through the eight limbs of yoga, which is very, we can say, maybe ancient, very old tradition. How does that work in modern days?
It was still very relevant. It's universal. It doesn't matter where you are, what you believe in. There's certain guidelines that can create a peaceful, a life of integrity, and something that's we can maintain will obviously develop, but we work towards being able to maintain these states of grace, and it just keeps evolving as we do. We become more peaceful, we become more honest, we become more caring. We don't cause any harm. It's all relative to many traditions that are doing great work. There's a blueprint in how we connect back to whether it's spirit or to our true self. Or yes, there's a lot of similarities, but I've found through my research through certain traditions, the eight limbs is almost a flawless guideline to follow to reach those high states of being.
So when you teach yoga, you're also focusing on taking the practice off the mat. How can we imagine that?
Yeah, well, for example, the first branch of the first limb, ahimsa, no harm. As I mentioned, the more that we practice this, then we become more peaceful. Of course, we don't harm ourselves in any way, shape or form, whether it's mentally, we constantly can harm ourselves with that internal dialogue, so we become more mindful of that, and could be the way we feel about certain things, that we start to be more aware of where we put our energy, where we put our feelings is what's creating our reality at that point in time. So with that, then of course there's going to be certain actions or behaviors that are created from these certain thoughts or emotions. So as we start to practice kindness and no harm, whether it's on our mat to not push ourselves beyond our limits to harm ourselves in the physical practice, or we can notice that if a hard posture comes up, to notice that internal judge or the critic which will cut us off from giving something a go. And this we can take out into the world when we can catch ourselves, whether we're pushing ourselves too much at work or whatever it is we're trying to succeed in, and those other times where we may be with ourselves and the inner narrative or that internal dialogue is happening, and whether we're able to catch whether it is serving us or not, then we can start to work with that, use that anywhere at any time. And you know, this is one example out of many things that we can take off the mat, just the mindfulness of all aspects in our lives, you know, physical, mental, emotional, even spiritual.
You're also part of Yoga Australia's Yarning Circle. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, with the Yarn Circle, where we've created a reconciliation action plan, which we've already started rolling out the first few stages, but it's obviously a long process and something that's not going to happen overnight. There's a gradual process in being able to create this vision that we have for reconciliation. And of course it's starting here on Yoga Australia and how we teach. For example, we've started all doing acknowledgement to country before we start a class. It's just something to remind people that we are on sacred land, but it's also stolen land, and people forget, but it's just a reminder to check in and reconnect. There's going to be many things happening in the future in regards to, we've got plans to go to certain festivals if they actually do happen and stop being postponed, then we can get up and in a bigger audience and offer what we're doing with this reconciliation action plan and get the wheels turning a bit faster with that.
I guess COVID put a bit of a stop on that.
Yeah, there's been a few places where we've planned to go, and either the festivals or events have been cancelled, so we've had to rethink and redirect our attention to other places and to other things. But it's definitely starting in our own spaces, in our own classes, even the conversations that we're having with family and friends to really implement this plan. And yeah, it's just one step at a time, one breath at a time. We've we all feel that this is possible, but it's a long road, and that we have to commit to and be dedicated to, and through that we'll start to see the results.
What has been the response from other yoga teachers?
At the moment, they appreciate that acknowledgement that first and foremost, we're doing a sacred practice on a sacred land, and just to acknowledge that is something that really brings people back either down to earth, or for other people it actually elevates them back to spirit through that remembering. When I acknowledge the traditional custodians, past, present and emerging, I also acknowledge everyone in that space, regardless of where they're from, because we are all indigenous to this planet, and the sooner we acknowledge that, then we will all start to tread much more carefully, kindly together. So it's very important,
That sounds beautiful. And you're also a shamanic journeyman. What does that actually mean? How can we imagine this?
It's just doing certain practices that I guess some of it comes from different cultures from around the planet, and whether it's drum journeying or playing other instruments, working with some other shamans, and doing things with plant medicines and ceremony, and doing certain rituals and following guidelines to create sacred spaces to do sacred work. The deeper work, which isn't as common these days, especially in the West, but it's slowly creeping in. The more that we have been forced to be separate from each other, or social distancing, and all these gatherings and community events that are being shut down, and people are feeling the call to get back to nature, to get back to connection, and whether it is through yoga or attending a ceremony or a sound journey, it could be, maybe going a little bit deeper into a plant medicine ceremony guided by spirit, things like that.
So. Yeah, I have noticed that as well, that we sort of, like a lot of people are getting now into yoga or wanting to, reconnect to their country or to their tradition. Why do you think that is now?
Because my belief is because the state that the world has got to is very unnatural. It's synthetic in the design that we have. It's so detached from the flow, from the natural processes of life, that this is why everyone's getting the call back, even if it is through mindfulness meditation or, taking that time to be out in nature, to connect to country, or people are starting to research more into their own ancestral lines and how it's affecting their reality at the moment, and hopefully they can start to break through some of the patterns, some of that old programming that will help them evolve, as it is needed more than ever.
What was your journey? How did you discover the need for this in your life?
I was well and truly in what I would call the program or the matrix, and living the so-called Australian, or what seems to be the American dream of having a well-paying job. I bought a house. I was with a partner at the time, and everyone thought, look at Kurt, he's doing well. Everyone was proud, but I was deeply miserable and very unhappy, to the point I was, suicidal. And that was actually the point that I got to, where I had enough. And the day that I was going to leave, to tap out, whatever you want to call it, commit the deed, I sat down and had a meditation just to calm my nerves before I went through with the act. But what happened in that point, I did not expect at all. It was a point of pure surrender. But yeah, all form gave way. It was just different than sitting in darkness or in an empty space. There was no form whatsoever, so it felt like there was no planet. There was just, I was the space, and it felt like I was everything but nothing at the same time. And with, I don't know how long I was in this space for, but it was only a matter of time before I felt a tingling, a spark, or sparks started to come up through from a tail up through what's, I know, is the toroidal field. It's the electromagnetic field that flows in and around us. So it started off with just a tingle and a few sparks, but all of a sudden it kicked in and it turned into what I can't really conceptualize or put into words, but the easiest way to express it would be it felt like the force of a trillion stars actually flowing through my energetic field. And this energy, this light, this vibration communicated to me and said, you're not leaving, you have to stay and teach. And that's why I am still here doing what I do, because of the message that I got. And I know that I don't believe in God or source energy or the divine. I actually know that it's real. It's something that I have had direct contact with, and hopefully I can pass this message on that we're all part of that. We are the universe experiencing itself just from a different perspective. And when we can remember and tune back in and tap back into that energy, then we are capable of doing more things than what we could ever imagine.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
My last question, actually, what are you looking forward to now? What's going to happen for you?
Well, I'm really big on reconciliation, and I have been spending a lot of time out in country in a few sacred spots on the central coast here, and the land's been communicating and offering suggestions and things of how to help move this along. And so I'm looking at creating what I'm calling ally tribes, and it's because there are people all over Australia, if not all over the world, that may be living in a place and they could be third, fourth generation, but still feel as if they don't belong to that area because they might not be indigenous. They could be, yeah, their ancestors settled a long time ago, but they've grown up in an area and in a space, but they still don't feel that they do belong because their ancestry line might go back to Europe or to Africa or to the Americas or wherever. And it's time that we start to remember and connect back to some of the ancient traditions, because there's so much wisdom there that is almost lost, but definitely not forgotten. So it's time that, you know, how I would say it, I guess, you know, white fella has gotten a black fella to do the white fella thing for a very long time, but now it's time that the white fella does the black fella thing. And this is the part of the reconciliation. This is the part of the allied tribes is starting to acknowledge people of the area that want to be part of that community of the tribe and go through certain initiations, certain ritual and ceremony to be part of that. And it's something that's obviously earned and not given, but it's working towards developing that and connecting with traditional custodians of certain areas, and how we can start to incorporate welcoming in other people that would live and die for the land just as I would, as I do for this place here on the Central Coast. Even though I have lineage far up north in the Torres Strait, I'd still die for this land here on the Central Coast because I'm infatuated with it. I love it. It's I was born here for a reason, and it's something that there's things happening at the moment of they're trying to develop sacred sites and surrounding areas that it will desecrate not only these sites but the environments and certain plant species and animals too in that area. So we're been doing a bit of activism as well to try and save these areas and get these sites really acknowledged and registered on the government. Yeah, through the government, so it is recognised and acknowledged and won't be developed, if anything, turned into heritage sites and national parks and things like that.
That was Kurt Murray, a Torres Strait Islander man living on Gringai Land, yoga teacher, member of Yoga Australia's Yawning Circle, co-founder and head teacher of Modern Organic, and he was talking to us about his work, about the necessity of rituals and how and why people are reconnecting and going back to their roots. For NITV Radio, Šárka Pechová.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.